Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good morning, Kansas City. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan on a Thursday. You're home for Kansas City sports. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you on a Thursday morning. The heat wave is upon us. Had to shut the windows. It was a sad, sad moment.
I turned the AC on last night.
Yeah, as soon as I did, Evergy goes, seems that your air has kicked on. Thank you, Evergy. I'm aware. I appreciate that.
Oh, do you have an app or something that tells you all that kind of stuff?
No, I'm just being petty. Okay. They just always seem
Richard
to remind
or Tom.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I didn't really watch a lot of Richard, but I enjoyed a lot of Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm.
I still think one of the greatest Tom Petty lines of all time is he's at a live concert and he talks about breaking his arm. And he goes to his doctor, and there's like live footage of this on YouTube, and he's talking to his doctor, and he's like, well, he's like, my doctor told me that I broke my arm and that I could never play the guitar again. So I said, F that, and wrote this song, and he goes right into the waiting.
Oh, nice. Right, that's awesome. Outstanding. Yeah. That's really cool. I watched a video yesterday from Super 70 Sports. Do you guys follow that account? If you don't, you should. You probably saw it yesterday because we got the same algorithm, and it was Elton John performing Tiny Dancer for the first time in front of Bernie Taupin, and it was like old video from the 70s, obviously, or maybe it was the 60s when he wrote that song, and it was the first time he ever played that song, Tiny Dancer.
Wow.
You know, hold me close now, Tony Danza.
That's what I thought. The song was called Tony Danza.
Yeah, so it was really cool to watch that kind of song come together, and you get the image, I guess you could say, the viewing of how talented Elton John is and how talented some of these artists are, man, because that guy just sat down and he just started to kind of go and blended the whole song together. I'm like, this is 3 minutes of wow, man. I just sat there in awe watching Elton John put this song together, and they showed like somebody else that was in the room with the face of amazement on, like, and this is like before Elton John was Elton John, you know, like right at the beginning of his career. And I'm like, damn, that is some awesome stuff just to watch that, man. Watching these musicians bring things together, it's awesome.
Yeah, when he sang Candle in the Wind at Diana's funeral.
Oh, my God, yes.
You talk about, like, a time to, like, watch somebody perform and, like, because that was, like, they were, like, best friends from what I believe. And then he performed that at a few, because he's played it, it was originally for Marilyn Monroe.
Right, Marilyn Monroe.
And then he sang it for Princess Diana.
Yep.
So here we are, Thursday already, insane. Gosh, I don't know if I'm doing this right. Ben Maller, Nate Taylor, George Brett, Eric Hosmer.
And Alex Gold.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a fivesome.
That's not bad.
In start bench cut. I'm kidding.
I'm going to start George, and then we'll figure it out because he's the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so today's show, Nate Taylor, Ben Maller, George Brett, Eric Hosmer, Alex Gold. So we'll get George's foundation he's doing. Same with Eric Hosmer. Talk to him about that, plus these Royals. Talk to Nate Taylor about the Chiefs as we ramp up for this game on Sunday at 3:25 against Philadelphia Eagles. And then you've got Alex Gold, who's going to try to get you some money, try to bet on the right thing. We got a doozy tonight, fellas. Got a hell of a game tonight.
It's going to be a fun one, yeah.
In Green Bay, the Commanders go to Lambeau.
Is it snowing yet there?
Not yet. But Green Bay is a favorite by 3 points. You got Mr. Daniels versus Mr. Love. Should be a good game. This could... As in, maybe this is a hot take, but as in Sunday Night Football, Bills-Ravens, which a lot of people could say could be a future AFC Championship game matchup, could be, if the Chiefs have something to say about it, we'll see what happens. Likewise, this could be an NFC championship matchup. We would think that in the East, it's going to be Philadelphia or Washington. And we would think in the AFC North, it's probably going to be what? At this point, Green Bay and Minnesota fighting it out. I mean, Chicago got some questions to answer. Detroit got some questions to answer. Mm-hmm. Green Bay looked pretty sound week one against Detroit, right? Washington, not a huge test. These were the Giants. It was Russell Wilson looking at his feet the whole time.
Yeah.
And now these two teams play. This is number one seed game on the line.
It could be. I mean, week two. But I'm not, I wasn't in love with what I saw out of Washington. And I probably watched that game more than most people because, you know, some are sicker than others. So I stayed around for a lot of that game.
Well, on so you Sunday. Could be critical.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I could sit there watching my dad.
And an underdog bet on it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I sat around and watched it.
Welcome to football, Bob.
Yeah, yeah, but if they weren't playing the Giants, I wouldn't have been around for the Washington Redskins. It's just not a team that interests me at all. And I will say, I just wasn't impressed with Jaden Daniels in his first game. I mean, the Giants do have a pretty good defense. You know, they have a really good defensive line. And I thought they did a really good job of pressuring him. They forced him out a lot. He had to run a lot in that game. He didn't really throw a whole heck of a lot and didn't really have to throw a whole heck of a lot because you're playing against the Giants and, you know, they had seven plays inside the 3-yard line and couldn't get points. So that tells you where they are at that point. But I just wasn't overwhelmed by Daniels in the way that he performed. I really was. I don't want to say overwhelmed by the Packers. I was whelmed by the Packers. I thought they had one of the more impressive performances.
Yeah, me too.
You know, based on opponent and whatnot, because going into the season, I still think a lot of people thought the Lions were going to be, you know, a pretty good team. And they went out there and they just dismantled the Lions. And they did it without Micah Parsons really even playing.
Yeah,
right? 11
exactly.
plays, and they kind of dismantled the Lions. And so if I'm going into this game tonight thinking what I think could potentially happen, I think Green Bay is going to take care of business. I don't know how much of a game, based on what we saw in week one. Again, week one, we don't know what we saw for anybody. But based on what we did see in week one, Green Bay sure seems like the more superior team right now. They're at home on a short week. That does factor in, I think, in a big way to the outcome of the game. But I think it's an opportunity now for Jaden Daniels to really step it up. And maybe a look-ahead game, too, against the Giants. Just like maybe the Chargers was a look-ahead game for the Chiefs to get to Philadelphia. Maybe there was a little bit of a look-ahead ahead by Washington, knowing we don't really have to play our best. We could find a way to win. And then we got that Thursday night showdown for what could be an early number one seed battle, you know, in the NFC. And that does happen. That's human nature, man. We see it all the time in sports.
Only on Prime.
Yeah, the Packers went 1-5 in their division last year. That was their Achilles heel. So that's a huge win. I like the Detroit week one to like not only beat them, but dismantle them, like you said. That's huge.
Yeah, momentum. It is. I didn't realize they were 1-5 in their division last year.
Tied with the Bears.
I mean, if you go 1-5 in that division this year, you're clearly not winning that division, and you're probably not making it in, you know, to the postseason. Because I just, you know, the more I think about the Bears and the more, you know, we talk about the Bears and what Caleb Williams did the other night, boy, he was not impressive at all. I mean, they've got a lot of warts on that team. And one of the biggest ones may have to be that quarterback. And so if you go 1-5, that means you lost to the Bears, and that's probably not a good thing, because I don't know that the Bears are necessarily ready to win at the quarterback position right now.
Yeah, you've got Kurt Warner defending the hell out of Caleb Williams, and you got other people saying that he was terrible. It's really hard to analyze these guys.
Yeah, and you also wonder, too, what the personal relationships are when people are making their statements or what their preconceived notions were. Like, I didn't have a good feeling about Caleb Williams coming into the NFL, but I was damn impressed after that first drive. And then the script stopped, and then all of a sudden Caleb Williams looked like, well, just a normal NFL quarterback. And so I don't know, man, like there's a lot of work to do in Chicago. I think there's a lot more work to do at the quarterback position than people wanted to realize.
Yeah, I'm excited because next week Washington will be at home against the Raiders, and Green Bay will be at Cleveland. So
I think they'll probably both win those.
Yeah,
right. So you got to think, okay, one of these teams gonna be 3-0, the other team's gonna be 2-1, and one of these teams gonna lose to the other. It's just crazy how
Tonight's game is a tie.
There's no way. There's no way. I would hate that.
That means stay up all night for a tie.
That'd be how you would, like, we drag you back in and then you immediately jump ship, because Bob has already learned twice the hard way that he has to stay up and watch football. It is what it is. And then he's like, okay, I'll do it. Next time there's a game at 7 o'clock, I'll save and watch it, because the Bills game ended in dramatic fashion. What was the other one? The Cowboys Philadelphia game, but that way didn't miss anything.
I'm not staying up through an hour and a half rain delay. You know?
Yeah, so like, I mean, I think everybody was in the same boat when it was like, hey, there's a lightning delay, they're going to continue play at 10:30.
Yeah, then it was the Minnesota
time.
Game. It was the Minnesota-Chicago game.
Minnesota-Chicago.
It's crazy how teams turn it on, though, in the fourth quarter, isn't it, guys?
Well, that's why the witching hour is so insane.
Yeah.
Like, on red zone. That's why, like, you know, some people out there in the NBA would say all you got to do is watch highlights. Whereas a lot of people say, a lot of people would say in the NFL, really, you don't have to watch Red Zone until about 2:30. Once 2:30 hits, perfect day for you, right? Let's say you're a family of four. Sunday, you want to do some stuff with the family. You can go out and do all of that. Say you go to church at 9 o'clock. Then after that, you go get lunch and you go have like a day at the park. By the time 2:30 hits and it's nap time, then you turn on Red Zone. And then right after that's over and you're like, oh man. Then you go right into 3:25 and the Chiefs start. By the time that game's over and everybody's watched it, 7:30, Sunday night. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I think it's so, Sundays are just, I don't know. They're awesome. I can't get enough of them. And I don't even have kids. And I'm planning my life around like kids and all that sort of stuff. But I feel like that's what like Red Zone is. Like, you don't have to watch the first three quarters. You just need to watch the last half of a quarter.
I know. And I hate saying that out loud because the games really are good. I mean, I enjoy watching football games. Sorry. I enjoy watching a game from kickoff to final buzzer. Maybe I'm a boomer. Call me that. Fine. But I enjoy watching the games and I enjoy having the Red Zone channel on as well. I think both can be true and both can be good. But, you know, imagine if Roger Goodell came out and just said what Jay Binkley said, what Dusty Likens said. I don't know why I thought Jay Binkley's looking at me on the computer screen here. But imagine if Roger Goodell came out and said what Jay did.
I swear to God, Bob.
I mean,
he's all over the place.
Imagine if Roger Goodell came out and said exactly what Dusty did. Oh, you don't need to watch Red Zone until about 2:30 or get the highlights.
We're a highlight league.
Just like Adam Silver did yesterday. The commissioner of the NBA saying you don't need to subscribe to NBA games. It's a highlight sport. You just need to watch the highlights. Yeah. Don't worry about Adam Silver should be fired today based on those comments. And I'm not kidding. You're telling your TV partners that pay you $1 billion a piece per year that their product is not valuable. That's your money. You should get fired for that. And if I'm the TV partners, I am pissed about that today, that the commissioner of the league is saying the $1 billion that we're spending to televise these games, you don't really need to spend money to stream them and watch all this stuff. We're a highlight league anyway. Oh, yeah, I'm NBC. You know what? I am not paying you $1 billion a year anymore. How's that feel, highlight league? Yeah, exactly. So
some of Bailey Zappi.
Yeah. So imagine the commissioner of the NFL saying that, right? We'd be talking about that for 4 hours.
Be the lead.
Yeah, it's one of the most detrimental comments I've heard a commissioner of sports make, you know, since Rob Manfred talked about the piece of metal that was the World Series trophy.
Coming up on the other side, just when I think I'm out, they keep bringing me back in, plus the perception of the Chiefs in Philadelphia. You'll be surprised at the results here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Nick Bolton, and you're listening to Fresco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back in it on 96.5 The Fan on a Thursday. Got Washington and Green Bay tonight in the frozen tundra. Well, it's still not frozen yet, but it'll get there. Big one tonight, Green Bay, Washington. Green Bay getting 3 points per usual in a close contest when the team is at home. Normally they're given the three, so close to a pick 'em. But I think, real quickly, Green Bay or Washington?
I'm going to take Green Bay. I don't know that it's going to be much of a game tonight. Ooh. You know, I just, we're going on week one. That's all we have to judge, right? And if you're looking at week one, Washington is a mid to below mid team, and Green Bay is one of the best. I mean, like, again, it's week one. You don't know what to take out of week one, but if you're judging it based on what we saw out of week one, I think Green Bay is by far and away the more superior team, and they just look good, man. They really look good on all cylinders. They look like one of the best teams in the NFL. Maybe it's, you know, peaked in high school and they're peaking in, you know, week one, and we'll see how the rest of the year, you know, plays out. But after 1 week, I mean, they have to be considered one of the better teams in the NFL based on that performance.
Debo played really well week one. What, 7 for 70?
Debo looked solid.
You got McLaurin out there as well. And then our guy Merritt, maybe that's our touchdown bet tonight.
Yeah. Ja'Cory Kroski, Merritt.
Bill. He could be out there. Yeah.
Like big old guy. Bill.
Is that his nickname?
That's what he says he likes to go by.
Not Bill?
Bill. He's Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. He goes by Bill.
I've got a friend named Jeremy. He goes by the nickname of Bill. I don't get it.
How do you get Bill out of that?
I don't know. I don't. Ja'Cory Kroski
Merritt. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt.
Bill. All right, sweet.
Bill. Okay, that's fine. Whatever you want, man. You do you.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares? Whatever.
I'll tell you what. And if you don't want to watch that game, I can give you something to watch because Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversities, yet forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Guys, this whole week I've been debating in my mind what I think about this game on Sunday with the Eagles and the Chiefs, and having Kyle Brandt on yesterday during that wonderful interview. The line that he drops towards the end of the interview, if you miss it, go back on the Odyssey app. You can find it. He says, at the end of the season, because I asked him, I was like, is this team a playoff team still? He goes, it's hilarious that people are asking me if the Chiefs are a playoff team. And at the end of the year, I'll be watching with binoculars and popcorn, watching the rats run away, right? And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, Kyle Brandt, he learned his lesson about 4 years ago when he's like, I'm done going against the Chiefs until proven otherwise. And then here I sit saying, well, you know, I'll always think the Chiefs are going to win the West until they don't. I think they'll be a playoff team until they prove me that they aren't. And, you know, Mahomes hardly ever an underdog at home. Hardly ever an underdog at home, if ever. I think this is the second time he's going to be an underdog at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting when you see that because Vegas has Philadelphia winning this game by 1.5, or at least favored by 1.5, which I look at this game and I think to myself, okay, relax. The first game looked ugly, but how many teams in the NFL sold you in week one, right? How many teams when you watched week one were like, well, you know, Baltimore, they blew a game against Buffalo. They lost. Detroit. New coordinators, they lost. Kansas City Chiefs, they lose their star wide receiver on the third play of the game. And where they kind of faltered in this game is where we always say trust in Spags. Like, as much as that game ate up the fans, I'm sure that game ate up Spagnuolo. And you'll have this game in Arrowhead, 325. Andy Reid, with an extra couple days to prepare for this game, kind of put a new game plan together. You now know you're not going to have Xavier Worthy. Jalen Royals probably not going to play. Didn't practice yesterday. Always keep your eyes on tomorrow's practice to see who's going to be out there. But sounds doubtful that he's going to play in this game.
It's amazing how many people are relying, if you will, and maybe that's the wrong term to use, on a guy who's never played in the NFL before in Jalen Royals. Boy, we need to get Royals back. Well, based on what?
Well, he's an option, and he had a really good camp.
Yeah,
and
I know, but that doesn't mean he's going to be a great player in the NFL.
No,
right?
It doesn't. No. And, you know,
but we're grasping at straws.
But that's the thing, and that's where we need to stop this train really, really fast. We're the freaking Chiefs. Stop grasping at straws.
Right. And, you know, maybe this isn't off to the start of the season that we might have thought it could have been, but the fact that Mahomes is a dog at home, the fact that Andy's got a little bit of time, and the fact that I sit here and say, prove to me until it's proven wrong, would make me kind of a, you know, a dumbass to be like, okay, well, then what makes you think Philadelphia wins? They didn't play great against Dallas. They had a lightning delay. I get it.
But they weren't playing that great before the lightning delay.
But I mean, A.J. Brown, what, one catch for 8 yards in the fourth quarter?
You read a book on the sidelines again, you know?
And Devonta Adams, we'll see. Not Devonta Adams, Devonta Smith. It's Devonta Adams and Devonta Smith. Thank you, text line, in the future. And the thing is like, you know, Spags can stop the run because Amarian Hampton, going to be a stud. I really do believe that. Didn't really run against the Chiefs. Didn't have to. Justin Herbert, though, that's the problem. So I think that if you can sustain pressure, which is a big ask from this Chiefs defense on Jalen Hurts, there's a chance that, you know, myself included could be eating some crow after this game on Sunday where the Chiefs are dogs at home with Patrick Mahomes a quarterback.
Yeah, and like I mean, I've been around this rodeo for a while now with this organization, and you start to see these patterns, and you start to see, you know, people starting to doubt. And what happens when people start doubting Patrick Mahomes? That's when he takes it to the next level. And this has been a great week of doubt, both from people inside Kansas City, which I still don't understand why the doubt is there for a team that's given us all that they've given us for all of these years. This is all gravy, man. Like, anything that has happened really after the first Super Bowl, for the most part, has all been gravy on top of what's been an unbelievable run. And we're still in the middle of that unbelievable run. I can't believe how many, you know, people that I've heard from that are such in like doubt mode about this football team, and they're down in the dumps about this football team. What have you been watching for the last 7 years? You know how this story ends. You know how good we are. You know how awesome Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are together. You know that they don't get embarrassed a lot, and when they do, they rectify it. And I would say they were probably embarrassed on Friday night. I would think that's a fair term
and the previous to game use.
And the previous game, that's right, and the Super Bowl. And so now they have an opportunity to come back home and really change the quote unquote narrative that's around this team, which I think is a false narrative. I'm so amazed that people have the reaction that they do. I thought we would have been further along as a fan base where they had a bad game. It was no big deal because we have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And I think at times the expectation level for a lot of people, the vocal minority maybe in Kansas City and elsewhere in the surrounds and maybe even nationally, is that we've got a football team that better go out there and play perfect and win every single battle, every single play, and every single game. Otherwise, we're going to say that they're no good, like everybody waiting for that final shoe to drop. It just doesn't work that way in the NFL. Every team in this league is one or two players away from being one of the better teams in this league. And so when you see what's gone on, where you see where we are, I would have thought by year 8 of Patrick Mahomes with 3 Super Bowl championships and 5 Super Bowl appearances, a bad game would be chalked up to, it's an anomaly. It's okay. We'll get back. But the overreaction that I've seen from fans in and outside of Kansas City and not Chiefs fans and other fans, it's been totally ridiculous, in my opinion.
I also think it's, what do we always get caught in? Like, what have you done for me lately? Not what have you done for me in the past or almost whatever. I'm screwing cliche up. And lately, the team that you have always seen be immortal or always find a way. Like, the weakest we've probably seen this team was a couple of years ago when they were 11-6, and we thought the sky was falling. Right. They still win the Super Bowl, and they get through it, right?
Right.
And you look at this schedule and the gauntlet that is the first 8-9 games of this season, right? You're going to play Detroit. Well, maybe now that's not such a scary game. And you're going to play the Giants. Maybe you look at that, and you're like, okay, there's 2 wins. Yes, you're going to play Buffalo. Yes, you're going to play Washington. Yes, you're going to play Baltimore. Well, maybe Baltimore doesn't have a defense. And maybe you can go toe-to-toe, offense for offense. Now I'm getting way ahead of myself, but you look at this game coming up in week 2, and you found a poll question yesterday with Philadelphia fans. Because, like, we talk to people around the city every once in a while. Like, I'll go to a store, or somebody will wear a Chiefs shirt, or talk to my friends, talk to you guys, talk to people in the bullpen. How do you feel about this game? And, you know, a lot of people come back. It's like, I just don't think that was actually the Chiefs on Friday night in Brazil. And I'm excited to see what they can do when they come back home. And then you have the Philadelphia fan base. Confidence of them winning this game.
Yeah, but also too with the Chiefs, we're basing everything, not we, the vocal minority, and I'm going to keep saying that because I do believe it is the vocal minority that gets all the attention. The vocal minority is taking the last 2 games and throwing out the previous 7 years like they never existed. And yes, because you won 7 years ago doesn't mean you're going to win today. Because you lost last week doesn't mean you're going to lose again. Because you couldn't stop the run in week 1 doesn't mean you're not going to be able to stop the run in week 2. But you look at history because it dictates kind of where you're going, right? You know where you've been. You don't want to repeat some stuff, obviously, that happened in history. But you also look at history to tell you what you can kind of expect. And when the Chiefs have been kicked in the nuts, they get back up. I mean, go back to the Tennessee game. Go back to, I'm trying to think of, you know, maybe it was that Giant game years ago with Alex Smith and Travis Kelce threw the interception and they lost the following week to the Jets. They came back up. And like every time this team gets kicked in the nuts, they find a way to come back. And until they stop coming back for an extended period of time, I'm always giving them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm always believing that they're going to get it done because I've seen it now for 7 years. What happened with Marty Schottenheimer doesn't matter. What happened with Dick Vermeil doesn't matter. What happened with Lynn Elliott, none of that matters, right? None of that matters at all. What matters is we've seen this team get down. We've seen this team be told they're out, and we've seen this team respond. And until if they get their teeth kicked in against the Eagles, we're having a different conversation on Monday morning. But this is a team that knows how to get out there and knows how to respond and knows how to play their best when everybody thinks they're not going to play their best. And that's kind of what the Eagle fans are thinking. Our sibling station in Philadelphia, WIP, ran a poll yesterday, and it said, do you expect the Eagles to beat the Chiefs with ease? With ease, they said. 67% of the people who voted in that poll said no. And that's really surprising, first of all, but also very indicative that the Philadelphia fan is even saying, all right, I know we beat these guys in the Super Bowl. They lost week one. We won week one. We got to go out there. This is not going to be an easy game. To see the Philadelphia fans admit to that is kind of eye-opening, because I figured they would say this would be an easy win over the Chiefs based on what they saw in the Super Bowl.
Juxtapose that with our poll yesterday, which 70% of people voted that they were 50% or less confident that the Chiefs could win that game.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, you have two good teams that have two passionate fan bases that have had a lot of downs and ups and are coming off of really big ups and really big downs, and a lot of emotions go into those voting as well, I would assume. But I think that when you look at this game, yes, it's been 1 week. 1 week does not define your team. But I think when you talk about they always come back from getting their nuts kicked, they've now been kicked in the nuts in back-to-back games. And it's been the way these games have been placed, February, 8th or 9th, and then September 5th. So, that's been a long range of stuff. And when you're told, just like with you take the Royals, for an example, we're a playoff team, says the Royals. All right. That standard goes into everybody's head, and they say, you told us you're a playoff team. Well, when the Chiefs come out and say, we're going to air it out, we're going to see it, we're going to do this, and then all of a sudden your wide receiver that you're going to air it out to is not playing, your other wide receiver is injured, suspended, it's like, well, what's going to happen now? Because they told us, and we didn't see it, and we're yet to see it, and now
we also have extenuating circumstances, too. Like, if you're a fan...
And you do this weekend, too, so that's why it's okay not to be optimistic. But extenuating circumstances.
But if you're a fan, and you're sitting there going, well, they told us they were going to be explosive, and they don't have their two top wide receivers, need to be explosive, well, then you're a fool. I mean, that's just stupid. It really is. You've got to adjust now the way that you're thinking. Did the Royals say they were going to be a playoff team? You bet. And you know what? They played damn good all year long with all of those injuries. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Every starter has been on the disabled list that started the year, and they're still four games back on September 11th with an opportunity to get into the playoffs. I thought they've done a pretty good job of stemming the tide all year long when you look at it, right? And for the Chiefs, yeah, they wanted to be explosive, but you know what? The two most explosive weapons that they had, well, they're not there right now. So, yes, what you want to do and what you're able to do are two different things. I tell my kids all the time, I want to take you to every concert you can go to, get your floor seats, do all that stuff. But we can't do all of that kind of stuff, right? So I think with the Chiefs right now, yeah, that was the goal to go in. Then they got a 6-game suspension to wide receiver number one. And then on the third play of the game, wide receiver number two gets hurt. And so now you have to kind of adjust what you wanted to do. They say sometimes the best laid plans go undone. There's a great laid plan, but now they have to adjust. And I think that's what they do better than just about any other team in the NFL. They do a great job adjusting and changing to the personnel that they have. And so they may not be explosive this week. They may be a ball control team. I mean, Andy talked about it yesterday. You know, I think it was Vahe that asked him and said, do you want to share what the running game is going to be? And Andy goes, not here, I don't. You know, so there may be more in the running game. It may be a different style. They'll figure out ways to win. It could be an ugly win for the Chiefs. Who cares, as long as they get the win.
Yeah, he commented on the run game. Andy Reid did. We need to do better on that starting off. That was his first comment on the run game as well. Which, I mean, we know that.
Yeah. But allow them to start it off. You got to stay committed to the run. And that is on Andy. Just because first down goes for a yard and you're second and nine doesn't mean you abandon the run right there. Go back to it.
No, I disagree with that. But it's on my Twitter bio. Why are you running on second down and 10? I think that is the worst play call maybe in all of sports. But
sucks because it puts you in such a pigeonhole.
Yeah, third and seven. You know, great. Sounds good. I don't know. I think you, to your history point, Bob, I think some of the less optimistic fans are going off of history. I think, yeah, you're taking the totality of 7 years. I think people are going off of last year when they weren't as confident or as optimistic in that team last year as a lot of people were because of the way they were winning, which sometimes does matter. And we saw the Chiefs try and eke out another one in the same way they did all year last year to have everything go their way at the end, and it didn't, because most of the time in sports, it doesn't. And if this team's going to rely on things like that again, which obviously just one game, it looked like they were going to again, it's not a 15-2 year, it's more like an 11-6 year.
And the thing that goes against each other in this game, when you look at Philadelphia and Kansas City, which has been kind of a rivalry all of a sudden the last 4 years, right? Two Super Bowl matches,
yeah.
Two regular season matches.
I mean, it's the best quarterback rivalry in the NFL.
Based on success. Based on the 2-2.
Jalen Hurts has beat Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has beaten Jalen Hurts. They beat each other on the biggest stages. They've lost to each other on the biggest stages. I mean, that's a quarterback rivalry right there.
Yeah, I just think it's tough when you don't play each other every year. I mean, I'd still say Mahomes-Allen is the cherry on top of the cake, but you do finally have what the narrative is. It can't be a rivalry unless both teams beat each other. Yeah. So, I mean, that is there for sure.
Allen-Lamar would be up there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Burrow-Allen, Burrow-Lamar, Burrow-Mahomes, and maybe we'll have one brew tonight with Daniels and Love.
True.
But I think that when you look at this, yeah, I mean, the team, Sirianni doesn't help with that, right? Used to be a ball washer over here in Kansas City for Haley, I believe it was. And then he has the outburst of the fans when he's yelling at him, and they went, 1-8 after that game. So there's a little bit of that. But I think where the Chiefs need to get to running the ball, the Philadelphia Eagles fan base and their staff is saying, we got to throw the ball, right? Smith and A.J. Brown combined for like 60 yards receiving, and Saquon Barkley had like, 60 yards rushing in that game against Dallas? Like, they were not their team. They're going to go back to the drawing board. Chiefs are going to go back to the drawing board. And it's almost like week one didn't matter. And that's why I look at this game, when I think of the point and a half and the underdog to Patrick Mahomes, I'm like, well, as many things that we need to answer, we need to fix, Philadelphia's got to do the same thing. But where I'm scared absolutely in my plums is the fact that if Jalen Hurts has time to throw and whoever Trent McDuffie is not covering, that's who, like, if Keenan Allen can go 10 for 77, and I'm not throwing shade at Keenan Allen, but the way he has, where he's at in his career and where these other two guys are at in their career, and if Jalen Hurts has time to throw, I mean, there's going to be one less guy. There's going to be two guys in single coverage because they're going to spy Jalen Hurts. I have no doubt in my mind that somebody's out there, whether it's Leo Chanel, whether it's Drew Tranquil, every other play, somebody's on Jalen. That means somebody's in single coverage, and that means one of those guys is not going to be Trent McDuffie, or one of those guys will be Trent McDuffie, because Ladd McConkey, decent game. But when he was covered by Trent McDuffie, he wasn't getting the ball. But when he wasn't covered by Trent McDuffie and Keenan Allen wasn't covering, that's what scares me. And also they have, you know, maybe the most elusive running back in the game with Saquon Barkley. So give me to Sunday, man. I know it's Thursday. I know we have one more show on a Red Friday. But, I mean, the more and more I look at this game and I think to myself, Philadelphia, yes, they're the reigning supreme champions. They didn't look like the defending champions in week one, just like the Chiefs didn't look like the Chiefs in week one. So who's going to be the real person in this game? Who's going to be the actual skin tone and flesh of themselves? And I think that's why there is optimistic fans on both sides, because neither one of those teams were their actual bone, skeleton, and flesh in that first game. Now we're going to be like, all right, no more excuses. You know Xavier Worthy's not playing. You know your secondary is a little weak. You know your defensive line needs more pressure. You know the running backs need to run. Go over to Philadelphia. We know these star receivers need to catch the ball. We know we need to run the ball to Saquon Barkley. Who wins? Who do you trust? Spags and Andy, Sirianni and...
whoever, Vic Fangio. But I'll tell you, Vic Fangio is a hell of a defensive coordinator. Really, I mean, he's done an amazing job. Like, they've been talking about Vic Fangio over there for a while now.
Him, Flores, and Spags. Mm-hmm. Like, they
know that Vic Fangio does a really good job from a defensive standpoint. So there's been a lot of game planning and a lot of, you know, research being done on Vic Fangio even before they probably went down to, you know, Brazil to play that game, because you want to get a jump start on one of the better defensive coordinators that are out there. But you're right. They know that Worthy isn't playing. He'll be listed as doubtful this week and whatnot. He'll be questionable next week. So, again, I talked to some people yesterday. We'll get more into that at 7 o'clock, what the latest is for Xavier Worthy, and you'll want to hear that coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. But they kind of know the game plan going in. So now there is no excuse. Like, if a guy gets injured in that game like we saw last week, we know going in we're not going to have Xavier Worthy. So if you go into a game, though, with the game plan of, oh, we're still going to try the same thing because, you know, we are who we are, and just because we don't have Xavier Worthy doesn't mean we can't do it. Well, that's a little bit of fool's gold. You have to put the best game plan, obviously, together with the personnel that you have out there, and that's why I trust Andy Reid, because at the end of the day, it still comes back down to me, to that head coach and that quarterback combination. And as much as I like Jalen Hurts, I don't like their head coach in Philadelphia. I'm just not a fan. I know he's a Super Bowl winning head coach. I don't know that he's the adult in the room, and these are the type of games that I think you need that adult in the room, and we'll see Andy Reid rise to the occasion. The series is tied at 2. You know, the winner gets the series lead in all of this. It's been a great rivalry over these last 5 years, roughly, that this thing has been going on, from the regular season to the Super Bowls to everything that we've seen. It's a lot at stake. This is a big regular season game as we're going to see this year in the NFL. People are fired up for it, and that's why I sit here and I say, yeah, Chiefs are going to come out. They're going to win this thing because they know how to rise to the level of play that they need to play at to win these games. Everybody's doubting them. Their backs are against the wall. That's when they come out, and that's when they play their best. nobody was really doubting them going into the Super Bowl, right? We all thought they were going to win that game. I think the majority of people thought they were going to three-peat. We were going to see history. Nobody was really doubting them going into the Super Bowl. I don't know how many people were really doubting them going into last week's game. But now the doubt's there. They're hearing it now. This is the first time in a while that the Kansas City Chiefs have truly been doubted by a lot of people on the national level and by some people here in Kansas City. So now they've got a lot to prove, and they're going to give you a nice big poop burger to eat on Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning.
Coming up next, Terrell Hatton had something to say about a funny story about last Ryder Cup. That Ryder Cup starts in a couple weeks here. I'm trying to maintain low tones when it comes to talking about that, but we'll get to a funny Terrell Hatton story and involve you as well. 913-586-7965 here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Leo Chanel, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Sun is finally starting to rise. It rises just before 7, and it sets at like just before 7:30.
Yeah, it got me last night. Last night was one of those nights where I was sitting outside watching the boys in blue play a little baseball. Big win yesterday for the Royals. How about that coming out firing here in the last couple of weeks of the season? And then all of a sudden, I went back inside to do something, came back out, and I'm like, oh man, it's like only 7:15 and it's starting to get that kind of that twilight out there. And then it got a little bit darker and a little bit darker. I'm like, damn, we are officially in fall. And then it's 95 degrees. So that's make right. up your mind. If it's going to be 95 degrees, we need to get the sun staying up till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Write a letter about that.
Going to be a heat wave for the next like 7 days. Ooh, I think even next week it's in the high 80s. So
I'm okay with that. It's when I see 95, you know, I'm like, that's a
full slate
much.
Saturday.
Saturday. No, we have the Italians in town, so we're going to hang out with them for most of the day on Saturday. Take them over to Smokehouse, get some lunch, get some stuff for the game, get ready to tailgate. And then my wife and I have something to do on Saturday night. Sunday it's supposed to be, I think it's going to be hot at the game, man. Like 95 degrees and whatnot.
On Sunday?
So, yeah.
Ooh, it's take
gonna,
your neck fans.
It's going to be damn. A barn burner out there.
Big hat. I'll be on the sidelines. So no nice. Sun coverage.
You have one of those hats?
You got to get one of those hats.
You, you get it at Target. Yeah.
I wear one all
PBR.
The time.
Yeah. You're talking about the big, like,
some like it's a bucket cap.
Yeah. Like
call.
A bucket. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
But you they have like the straw ones at Target and has PBR drinky.
Yeah, you don't want that. You get a nice like Adidas hat or something that's yes. you know, and you wear that on the sidelines. Get yourself a bucket hat. Like they'll like REI. You should probably go there or someplace okay. like that.
No,
get
I really should.
Hiking.
What
hats.
Are you gonna do on the sidelines?
I'm holding. I don't know how to say. It's a
parabolic mic.
Okay, parabolic. I just keep calling it parab. Parabolical mic. I don't
you
know.
So paralyzed.
You guys
mic.
Didn't learn that in college? Like we had to take classes on the different kinds of microphones.
I mean, I'm sure we
and
did.
Whatnot.
But I just. Didn't really
no, Mac went
that.
To the University of Tennessee where they taught you how the SEC football rain. Remember we did all the classes.
Yeah,
Mac.
That's right.
That's exactly
did you take underwater
right.
basket weaving
I
there
did not.
At Tennessee?
I, did not.
I mean, I took a class. It was like strictly on microphones, but I don't really remember the parabolic microphone.
Yeah, I don't remember
Is
that.
Is that the one that hangs over?
It's like got the big half, you know, semicircle yeah. around oh, it yeah, with just the tiny. Yeah, yeah. Do you see those guys? Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's dude, the parabolic. Gotta, yeah.
So if like, I get ran over, we'll have the audio.
My buddy did one of those for like a class at KU. And I don't know if they still do it, but at kickoff for Kansas, they would be like, rip his effing head off. And he would turn it towards the
Oh, that's
section.
Good. Yeah, I like that.
And they'd be like, microphone 4, please do not aim that.
Well, you're
going to
be on the Eagle sideline.
Well,
you know where I'm going to be, so you may point that mic right by me.
Yeah,
I'll get you on the broadcast. Yeah, I'll start yelling some stuff up there. Yeah,
he doesn't play here anymore.
Yeah, I'll get on the broadcast if you want me to. Tell him what in Philadelphia about this game. But no, you got to get a bucket hat. You got to wear your sunscreen. I'll give you the European sunscreen too. Put that on so that way you don't get burned.
Bullfrog
down there on the field. Now that stuff's garbage. You got to get the stuff from Europe. It protects you against 36 different things. The American sunscreen only protects you against like 16.
Wow.
True story. My daughter is as pale as it gets. And she wears sunscreen all the time and will still burn. She puts the European sunscreen on. Nothing.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yes. Give me a little bit of that.
The Italians are bringing some more when they come because they tried to ship it and it got sent back.
I mean this in the most polite way. I hope there's a sideline pass and they catch it and you get wiped out.
I
but
do
you're,
too.
But you're fine.
Yeah.
Specs said the same thing.
But you're fine.
No, no, he'll have a knee injury. He'll blow out his Achilles, not his Achilles, but his ACL or something like that. Yeah.
Like you,
and it'll make our job a lot harder. So don't work for that. No, come on.
I think I still got it. I think it would also be great if, like, let's say you're on the sideline and the quarterback throws it away. And all this blank talk that Bob gives you about running routes in the parking lot.
And you catch it.
You just drop the parallel mic and you just pull up your hand and snag it.
Snag.
It's like, bring me that arm! You know, like from Rookie of the Year.
Chief's Twitter, like, hey, could he run our routes?
Yeah, look at that guy. He must be fast because he's tiny. No, I've seen him in the parking lot. Okay, he's not very good. He doesn't get in and out of breaks. His cuts are a little off. He rounds off his routes.
4940. Let's go.
He can't play the X. Yeah. Can't play the Y.
No.
I watched the All-22 on Mac. Let me tell you something. It ain't good.
That man is drunk.
He's washed.
He's washed.
I'll tell you what. That Mac Maury Carrington. He's washed. I know. He's terrible. He should never be on a field.
Man, I hope you get wiped out. But I hope it's all like good. I don't want like
fine.
Any sort.
Yeah.
Of, like, honestly, though, like if you were to blow your knee out, I would assume that like the stadium would pay for it, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now I'm having second thoughts about this.
You're a funny man, Dusty Likens. You better have your health insurance.
Well, by the deadline. Yeah, we remember that story. Here's the story of Tyrrell Hatton.
That was obviously a very nice phone call to receive, and I was very. Yeah, I was over the moon, to be honest, and then also John had just won the individual, so we had a bit of a tear-up, and yeah, that was a messy night in the end.
Sign of things to come, maybe, from Bethpage?
I do not want to feel that bad the next day. Yeah, that was aggressive. I won't go into the details of what state that I woke up to, but...
Where did you wake up?
If you want to know, I'll tell you. When I did actually get back into the room, I fell across the bed sideways and face down in that position. And then I've woken myself up throwing up in that position. I've then fallen back asleep in that position. And then as I've woken up, I've got like sick all down my arms, both sides, all down my shirt. I get off the bed, like walk around to the bathroom, look in the mirror, I'm like, oh my god, I've got sick in my face, in my beard. How I set an alarm to make the flight for the few hours time, I don't know.
So Tyrrell Hatton went after it after they won the Ryder Cup 2 years ago in Europe. Brutal, dude.
Ew.
He's not getting his deposit back from that hotel.
No, I like not how they call it sick. It's not. We call it puke. And in Europe they call it sick. I guess like that's the first time I've ever heard that. I had sick in my beard.
Got sick on me. Got sick over here. I said they had a real tear up. I like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a real tear up. I'm sure if you have sick in your beard, you really did have a tear up.
Awesome.
What's the biggest tear up you've ever had?
Well, I don't drink Hawaiian Punch anymore. Because I thought it'd be a good idea when I was younger and my buddies and I were trying to sneak a drink. We found Smirnoff vodka and we weren't going to drink it straight because we're, you know, not ever drank before.
Well, I wouldn't drink Smirnoff straight either, though. But yeah, that's it.
I was like, well, I got Hawaiian Punch in a can in my fridge in the garage. So I went and got Hawaiian Punch from downstairs fridge.
You're ruining Hawaiian Punch for me right now.
Haven't had it. I promise you on everything I own, I have not had it since this day because here's the key factor. Never drank before in my life. Mixed Smirnoff vodka with Hawaiian Punch. Drank about three of them. And I had a waterbed.
So you got seasick too?
Oh, I mean, I literally laid on my waterbed and that first like ripple went through. I mean, it looked like The Exorcist, but red. And I have yet to ever even touch, smell, drink Hawaiian Punch since that moment.
Can I be honest? Can I tell something I probably have never said before? I've never thrown up from drinking.
Oh,
damn.
You didn't party hard enough.
The hell I didn't. No, I don't.
See,
I mean, I feel queasy, and now if I drink on a Friday, it takes till Tuesday before I'm starting to feel better because of the age. and all that. But
that's
I've
why I like to just get it out.
I mean, I couldn't tell. I don't know that I've puked since the 80s.
I remember you saying that. That's
save maybe a food poisoning here or there that I've had, but I really didn't puke much during food poisoning. A lot of it was bile and came out the other end for me. So
good morning.
Like throwing up is not a big deal in my world, but I remember passing out in a bathtub in Detroit with my wife after I got a job offer at her family's wedding. I remember, you know, numerous times in college waking up and going, where am I? And then there was the one time I flew back from Las Vegas that I've told the story. I landed in Omaha, Nebraska. And I'm like, oh my God, how the hell did I get here?
Fun place.
Not when you're not supposed to be there.
Mm. Yeah, when you're...
I mean, I drank so much Jaeger bombs one night, it looked like somebody changed their oil in my toilet. Yeah.
I won't drink gin anymore.
Come on,
man. Dude. No, gin, I'm out on gin. We did shots.
Oh, we love gin.
Yeah,
I just want to win gin.
I do love gin, but not gin. except Jin Wong with G-I-N. The White Sox. Love him. He's a great dude. The G-I-N, gin. Ugh, God, we were at a wedding in Topeka, Kansas, and we were 21, and that's like... That's really kind of what they had. Dead gin or whatever. So we were doing shots of it was that Seagram 7 gin back in the day. Oh, God.
That's bad.
Somewhere Maloney's going, yep, been there.
Yeah, Maloney, every story. Like, yep, sounds good. Me too, last night.
Somebody says from the 913. Yeah. Someone says from the 913, throwing up flaming hot Cheetos might be one of the worst.
Oh,
damn.
That's like little Nicky. Like, you're no chance.
What about you, Mac? Have you had a...
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you talked about ended up somewhere, ended up on the side of the street next to my house. Almost made it. Wasn't quite there. Yeah, multiple bad moments.
But I knew a guy that I used to work with here. We had the BMA golf tournament one year. Mm. He had moved the day before, took an Uber, had the wrong address in his thing, right? Ended up at the house, couldn't get in. Somehow passed out, calls me from a hospital.
Oh, no.
His mother's looking for me. It was unbelievable. That's the BMA golf tournament coming up October 24th. If you're interested, BMA golf, just check out bmafoundation.org. Awesome.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You sign up your foursome now, but it was insane, man.
Maybe you'll make a mess of yourself. College football coverage at 96.5 The Fan brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners are teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your college team, catch every play, and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanners locations. Bud Light and Tanners, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. Coming up on the other side, some Xavier Worthy news was released yesterday from Andy Reid. Surgery, not an option for now. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.